40 Love, WLLV, Louisville, New Albany, a Golden Door Broadcasting Station.
Welcome to Bible Talk, where truth is taught and questions are answered. Bible Talk is brought to you by the South End Church of Christ. We meet at 4001 Taylor Boulevard. You are invited to participate in the program by calling 571-1240. That is 571-1240. And now, your host, Aaron Earhart.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Bible Talk, where truth is taught and questions are answered. Bible Talk is brought to you by the South End Church of Christ. We meet at 4001 Taylor Boulevard. Our building sits right on the corner of Taylor Boulevard and Ashland Avenue, and borders the Watterson Expressway at Exit 9. That means no matter where you are in the Kentuckiana area, you are just minutes from our church building. You can visit us on the web at southendchurchofchrist.com. I am Aaron Earhart, and joining me on the program today is my good friend and fellow evangelist Don Wright. Don works with the West End Church of Christ. They meet at 4401 West Broadway. Don, great to have you on the program.
Good to be with you. Look forward to it.
As always, we invite your participation on the program. If you have a question or comment, pick up the phone and dial 571-1240. That is 571-1240. At about 5 o'clock this morning, I received a phone call that a young man wanted to be baptized. We met at the church building, and by about 6 o'clock, he was a Christian. Now, Don, we certainly rejoice in that good news. But it may cause some to wonder, was that necessary? Was it necessary to get up while it was still dark outside to have a baptism? Now, the reason they may ask that or wonder that is because they've been taught that baptism is not necessary. Well, if it's not necessary, then there's no rush. There's no urgency. There's no need to get up at 5 in the morning. You just wait until later in the day or maybe even on another day. So, Don, today we want to ask the question, baptism, is it urgent?
Yes, and of course it is. And, you know, the way you worded that was just right, I think, because, again, just think about this. At 6 o'clock or about 6 o'clock, he became a Christian, implying that before 6 o'clock, he was not a Christian. That's why it was so urgent. That's why it was necessary to answer the call and without hesitation, getting up and going to the building and baptizing him into Christ, because that's the starting point of one's Christianity. And so we know that from several passages of scriptures. We've looked many times at Acts 2:38. Where the Bible clearly teaches us that baptism is for the remission of sins. That's why he wasn't a Christian before he was buried in the waters of baptism, because he wasn't in Christ and his sins had not yet been forgiven. And so we find then that that was absolutely necessary. And, you know, we have those kind of experiences from time to time. We often tell people, call anytime and we'd be willing to baptize you into Christ. You can wake us up at 3 in the morning if you wanted to, 12 at night, whenever the case is, because baptism is a part of God's plan of salvation. Remember, it is for the remission of sins, not an outward sign of an inward grace. It's a part of the process of becoming a Christian.
You know, you hear a lot of folks say, you know, I was a Christian for years before I was baptized. That is simply not so. You cannot be a Christian without baptism. You see that baptism puts you into Christ. Romans 6:3, Galatians 3:27. As Don said, in baptism our sins are forgiven. Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16. So you need to understand something. You were not a Christian before baptism. You were not saved before baptism. Now, I know the denominational world has come along and muddied the waters, as they so often do. But we're telling you, look to the Word of God. In Mark 16:16, Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." Now notice the sequence. Belief, baptism, salvation. Now this is an obvious question, but let me ask it anyway. in Mark 16:16, did Jesus put baptism before or after salvation? Jesus put baptism before salvation. Hear it again. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. The sequence is clear. The sequence is undeniable. Belief, baptism, and then salvation. Sometimes you'll hear someone say, well, I was saved and then baptized. No, you weren't. That's an impossibility. I mean, think about it, Don. You have Mark 16:16. Baptism stands between the sinner and salvation. Acts 2:38. Baptism stands before the sinner and the forgiveness of sins. Romans 6:3. Baptism stands between the sinner and the death of Christ. I mean, we could go on and on with this. Baptism is not something you do after salvation. Baptism is something you do to be saved.
That's exactly right. You know, we've often pointed out what baptism does. You name some of those things, but maybe just viewing it differently. You know, a lot of people fight for whatever reason. They just fight and fight and fight the idea that baptism is essential. No, you don't have to be baptized. They think it just sounds bad when you say you have to be baptized to be saved. Well, let's put it a different way. Do you need the blood of Christ to be saved? I think almost everyone would say yes. And so when you can determine through study of the scriptures that you contact that blood in the waters of baptism, you see the importance and the place of baptism. Can you be saved without the death of Christ? Well, most people listening say, of course not. Well, you quoted Romans chapter 6 or made reference to Romans chapter 6, 3 and 4, that we're baptized into the death of Christ, the benefits of his death. Can you be saved without being in Christ? Well, most people say, no, you have to be in Christ. How do you get there? Galatians 3 at verse 27, it's baptism that puts you into Christ. Romans 6 verifies that as well. And so all of these things, you know, just a lot of people think that we believe we're saved by water. No, we're saved by the blood of Christ. We're saved by the grace of God. A lot of factors involved. But you've often pointed out, and well so, that you have to figure out the contact point. When do you contact the blood? The Bible clearly teaches it's in baptism.
If you're tuning in just a few minutes late, we're celebrating today the baptism of a young man this morning into Christ. He was baptized about 6 a.m. at the South End Church building. We're thankful for that. But it begs the question, was that necessary? Was it necessary to get up before the sun came out to have a baptism? The Bible says yes. As you look at the New Testament, you see that baptism was an urgent matter. More on that in a minute. But we're making the point now that there's so much confusion and misteaching on what the Bible says about baptism. Hello, you're on Bible Talk.
Hey, I want to put my two cents in this morning. What you did, I think it's wonderful. I think it's great that this person won't be baptized at 5 o'clock. And I commend you for going out and doing that. That is really wonderful. I think there's nothing wrong with that. That's what the Bible teaches, to be baptized. Now, the problem is, for the forgiveness of sins is your problem. That's in the name of Jesus Christ where the sins are forgiven. The water can't save your sins. Look at Matthew 1, verse 21.
All right, we'll be glad to talk about it.
Thank you.
The lines are open. The number is 571-1240. That is 571-1240. Let's approach this from a couple of different angles. First of all, you're pitting baptism for the forgiveness of sins against the name of Jesus Christ. It's not an either-or scenario. It's an and-both. In Acts 2:38, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, listen, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." So it's not an either-or, in the name of Christ or baptism for the forgiveness of sins. It's and-both. It is baptism for the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus Christ.
That's right. Matthew 1, verse 21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Listen, we believe that with every fiber of our beings. Who saves? Jesus saves. We understand that. We understand that salvation comes in the name of Jesus Christ. There's no question about that. Larry, you better get out a Bible and read it a little bit more closely than you have, and you better start figuring out what "in the name of the Lord" means. Certainly, you go back to Acts 2:38, Aaron, and what are you supposed to do in the name of the Lord? All this talk about the name of the Lord. What does that very passage say that you're supposed to do in the name of the Lord? You mean you can be saved in the name of the Lord without doing even what the Spirit tells you to do in the name of the Lord? That doesn't make any sense.
That's a great point. Let me make one more point, too. You had mentioned the fact that there has to be a contact point. We all agree that we're saved by the blood of Christ. We often sing a song, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." But there has to be a contact point. To the surprise of many, the Bible teaches that we contact the blood in the waters of baptism. In other words, the blood is what, baptism is when. Let me go through this really quick. In Matthew 26:28, the Bible says that the blood forgives. But in Acts 2:38, it says baptism forgives. In 1 John 1:7, the Bible says the blood cleanses. But in Ephesians 5:26, it says baptism cleanses. In Revelation 1:5, the Bible says the blood washes away sin. But in Acts 22:16, it says baptism washes away sin. And finally, in Romans 5:9, the Bible says the blood saves. But in 1 Peter 3:21, it says baptism saves. Now, how do we reconcile those passages? The blood forgives, the blood cleanses, the blood washes, and the blood saves. But then we read, baptism forgives, baptism cleanses, baptism washes, and baptism saves. There's only one logical explanation. We contact the saving blood in the waters of baptism. Hello, you're on Bible Talk. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yes, we know that Paul waited for 3 days before he was water baptized. If it was such a thing that had to be urgent right now, why did they wait 3 days on Paul?
All right. Hey. Thanks. 571-1240 is the number. Actually, that's a very passage that teaches the urgency of baptism. You've really missed the point. The reason he waited 3 days is because he had not yet been told what to do. For those 3 days, he was still waiting for the preacher to come and tell him what he must do. If you look at that text, we see the urgency of baptism. As soon as the preacher did tell him what to do, the Bible says without delay, he arose and was baptized. In fact, consider this. For 3 days, he had not eaten anything. Yet the Bible says he went to be baptized before even eating. So this passage doesn't do away with the necessity or urgency. It teaches the urgency.
Yes, you know, it's just amazing to me that so many people call and take the position, not just people calling and listen to this program, but through the years in denominational churches, because people are taught error about baptism and God's plan of salvation, they do everything they can to fight against it. But you notice that all the callers, you're actually fighting not against Don and Aaron, but against the Word of God. You're holding up one passage against another passage. What we have said through the years in this program is let's just take everything that God has to say. You take all the passages, Larry. I'm glad you had a change of heart and just called up with one passage. But on yesterday's program, if you were listening, he said he's going to bring up 15 passages. What's the point? We believe all the passages that uplift Jesus Christ and talk about the power of His name and all of that. But why does that make you deny the clear passages that command baptism? We know of all the passages. Once, you remember a few years ago, Aaron, someone called and talked about us Church of Christers and said he had, I think he said 72 passages on belief or something, had it on tape or something. And what's the point? You could read off all 70 of those passages. We believe every single one of them. Faith is important in order to be saved. But why not take everything that God says?
Great point. Hello, you're on Bible Talk.
Oh, yeah, I'm calling about some of these callers and the last caller. Don't be stubborn like it, because I used to be stubborn and didn't want to be getting that pool of baptism. I got that pool of baptism, a wonderful thing. I rejoice. I used to be one of the biggest drunks. He don't know what he's missing and being as dangerous like it. But I seen a lot of them thought like they end up dying and then lost their soul. It's good you got a member in there. You know, a lot of people didn't get baptized like in the church, God's church, and died, and they say. But I'm talking about they say. And he's got hope he don't die. But I'm talking about if you do, afterward, a lot you say, your sins are washed away. And he needs to read this. He needs to get it in his head. Believe in Christ. Hebrews 11:6, John 8:24, Acts 16:31, repent of your sin. Luke 13:3, Acts 2:38, 3:19, in 17:30, confess faith in Christ. Matthew 10:32, Acts 8:37, Romans 10:9-10. Be baptized. Matthew 28:19, Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, 10:48. And 22:16.
Very good.
Right. He needs it. He don't know what he's missing. Well, his soul is at Jeff. He could die today and being stubborn. Y'all telling him the truth.
Thank you. Appreciate that. The lines are open. The number is 571-1240. And that caller gave book, chapter, and verse. Here's what you must do to be saved. Don and I frequently give those same steps. Those steps did not originate with us. They did not originate with some church council. This is how the Holy Spirit revealed the plan of salvation. And you know, people, you have to give the denominations credit for prejudicing the minds of others. They would have you to believe if someone says that baptism plays any part in salvation, they're trying to earn their way to heaven. Works salvation. And people cringe at the very thought. This is not a matter of works salvation, not as they intend it. The fact of the matter is, in John 6, belief is called a work. So there are certainly works involved, but not meritorious works. These are the works of God, meaning the works that God set forth in His Word. And as that caller said, yeah, you must believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Hello, you're on Bible Talk.
Let's go to Acts 22:16. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Is there any way that we could meet and discuss this? This is very, very important to me, and I'm willing to meet you guys. You name a place and time. I'll be real friendly. I'll be real nice, but this is very, very important.
All right. Thanks for calling. 571-1240 is the number. Let me give you a little history here, because you may be listening today for the first time, and maybe you're not familiar with this particular caller. We go way back. We've been doing this radio program on several different stations for about 10 years, and this caller has been with us the whole time, and his attitude changes. Sometimes he's receptive to the truth and seems to agree. At other times, he makes the very arguments that he's refuted himself prior. And I don't mind meeting with him, but he's heard the truth. He quoted Acts 22:16. Can you believe that? That someone would quote Acts 22:16 as if it's saying baptism is not necessary? That's one of the strongest passages in favor of baptism. Here a God-sent preacher told a man in his sins, Saul of Tarsus, to arise without delay, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord.
That's right. I mean, listen, we'll meet with anybody, but would you promise to do what the Bible tells you to do? If you would meet with us, Larry, and promise to do what the Bible tells you to do, then we'll leave that meeting. You'll get baptized for the remission of sins. It's what the Bible says. It doesn't do much good to sit down with an open Bible and refuse to do what the Bible says to do. These are not complicated issues. There are complicated passages that demand hours of study and research to get the truth, to get at the truth. But when it comes to God's plan of salvation, these things are simple. We just have to be willing to do what God says to do. In verse 41, they that gladly received the word were what? Were baptized. Larry, if you would gladly receive the word, you'd be baptized. Nothing complicated about it at all.
Hello, you're on Bible Talk.
Yes, Aaron. In James said that the water baptism now saves us. But it goes on and says, not to putting away the filth of flesh. So right there it shows that the water was not do away with sin, because it says does not.
All right.
And another point, too, is I've met and been around a lot of people that's been water baptized on different religions or different faiths. And I've watched their life, and their life didn't change one bit. All they went in was a dry center and came out a wet one.
All right. Thanks for calling. Larry and Rick have both used their two calls for the day. Maybe now we can get some more folks on. Again, for the sake of historical context, Rick has also been with us for about 10 years. Listen, it's not James, it's Peter in 1 Peter 3:21 who made that statement that baptism now saves us. Now, you're arguing that baptism does not save us. You just quoted a passage or alluded to a passage where Peter specifically says it does save us.
Yes, and doesn't have anything to do. The only point Peter's saying is you're not cleaning yourself from a physical standpoint. You're not taking a bath in the waters of baptism. That passage that doesn't say anything about not remitting sins. The Bible doesn't contradict itself. I mean, we need to understand. People need to understand. If you're baptized, it has nothing to do with getting clean physically. That's the only point he's making there. We have to be clean spiritually. We do that by getting rid of our sins by the blood of Christ, which we contact in the waters of baptism. And, you know, just bring it up. So what, people? I know a lot of people who've been baptized and haven't changed their lives. You know why? Because they didn't repent before they were baptized. I also know people who have repented, were baptized, and later have fallen from grace. What does that prove about the necessity of baptism? Absolutely nothing.
You know, you think about this. Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. How could the Lord have said it any clearer? Belief, baptism, and then salvation. Acts 2:38, be baptized. What for, Peter? For the forgiveness of your sins. How could he have said it any clearer? I mean, you know, you have to question the honesty of some of these folks. When they'll read these passages and hear these passages over and over again, and yet still deny the necessity of baptism. Hello, you're on Bible Talk.
Yeah, Aaron, you said something about scriptures yesterday that are a little bit troubling. Well, one that happened to come to mind, will you talk about Hebrews 6:4?
Yeah, I'd be glad to.
Talking about there.
All right, thanks. Yeah, and he was referring yesterday to a passage in Luke that seems to imply at least the possibility of degrees of punishment. One received a severe beating, the other a light beating. And I made the point that I don't believe that there are degrees of punishment or reward. But admittedly, that is a troublesome passage. Now, in Hebrews 6, verse 4, let's actually back up to verse 1. The Bible says, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible, in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, and have shared in the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God, and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm, and holding Him up to contempt. Now, in those latter verses, verses 4 through 6, the Hebrews writer is dealing with one who persists in sin. He refuses to repent. In that situation, it is impossible for that person to come back. This is not saying that a person can commit X number of sins and now they forever forfeited their right. This refers to a person who persists in sin, a person who is unrepentant.
Yes, the context of the book of Hebrews it has to do with folks who are on the verge of going back to Judaism. They're about to leave Christ to escape suffering and go back to the law of Moses. And throughout the book of Hebrews, the Hebrews writer is letting them know, why would you leave the superior to go back to the inferior? And if they were to do that, if they were to leave Jesus and go back to the law of Moses and under Judaism in that state, while they were under a law that has become obsolete in the mind of God, there would be no way that they could be saved in that situation. A like passage is Hebrews 10, at verse 26, I believe it is, verse 26, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Well, that's just making basically the same point. When you willfully go off into sin, as long as you stay in that condition, there's no way your fellowship with God can be restored in that state unless you're willing to repent. Now, if those folks would go back to Judaism, repent, come back to Jesus Christ, they would be welcomed with open arms like the prodigal son was. But you cannot leave Christ and be saved in that condition.
Hello, you're on Bible Talk.
Yeah, brothers, I got a question. I was hoping you can give me some insight on. In Mark 10:18 and Luke 18:19, what is Jesus exactly saying when he said he's not good? Can you tell me what he's saying?
All right, repeat those one more time.
Mark 10:18, Luke 18:19. Jesus says he's not good, but God is.
Oh, yeah, I got you.
Okay.
All right, Mark 10:18. All right. Yeah, this is, of course, Jesus dealing with the rich young ruler. Thank you. Let me say, the lines are open. The number is 571-1240. You'll remember that Jesus was approached by a young man who is called Rich. And the Bible says that this man ran up to Jesus, knelt down before him, and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, in verse 18, this is the crux of your question. Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Now, what is Jesus saying there? Don't we believe that Jesus was the very essence of good? Of course he was. Apparently, this young man did not view Jesus as the Messiah, but simply as a rabbi, a teacher. And in that sense, God is saying, or Jesus is saying, God alone is good. But in no way is Jesus denying his own deity or the goodness of his nature.
Yes, you know, it's kind of interesting that Jesus very rarely directly affirmed his own deity. Now, I believe he did it over and over again. Every time he referred to himself as the Son of God, that was a reference to his deity. Every time he claimed God was his father, he did the same thing. In fact, when the Jews would hear that, they'd want to pick up stones and kill him for making himself equal with God. But very few times he didn't do that. Very few times he did make a direct reference to that. And he, in that passage, I think you're right, Aaron, was just approaching it from the viewpoint of that person he was talking to. And that's it. And so he approached it on his level and made a good point about it. But no, that passage and no other passage ever denies the deity of Jesus Christ. He was God manifested in the flesh.
If you tune in late today, this morning at about 5 o'clock, I received a phone call that a young man wanted to be baptized. We met at the church building, and by 6 o'clock, he was a Christian. And we've asked the question, was that necessary? Was it necessary to get up so early in the morning to have a baptism? And the answer is yes. When we understand what the scriptures say about baptism, that is, it is necessary for salvation, it is for the forgiveness of sins, then we understand that it ought to be approached with urgency. No delay, no postponing, it needs to be done immediately. And that's the consistent pattern throughout the book of Acts. In Acts 2, 3,000 Jews were baptized in one day. You know, why didn't they break that up? Why didn't they baptize 100 today and 100 tomorrow and schedule baptisms for later? Why was it necessary to baptize all 3,000 in one day? Because baptism was necessary for salvation. In Acts chapter 8, we read that a eunuch who had traveled a great distance to Jerusalem was now on his way home when he learned the truth and wanted to be baptized. The Bible says he was baptized along the side of the road as he traveled. People today would say, well, why didn't he just wait till he got home? I mean, why was it necessary to stop the chariot and baptize him on the side of the road? Because he knew baptism was necessary. In Acts 16, you had a jailer baptized in the middle of the night following an earthquake. Have you ever thought about that? The Philippian jailer was baptized in the middle of the night following an earthquake. Well, come on, why didn't he wait until morning? Because he understood that baptism was necessary. One of our callers brought up Saul of Tarsus in Acts 9. Despite the fact that he had fasted for 3 whole days, the Bible says he went to be baptized before even getting something to eat. My friends, if you've been taught that baptism is not necessary for salvation, you've been taught wrong. That's a lie of the devil. Baptism is necessary for salvation. It is an urgent matter. That's why the good young man this morning, when he came to a realization of sin and the need for Jesus Christ, he didn't delay. He was baptized before 6 a.m. We praise God for that. We hope that you'll follow His example. Don't stay in your sins. Contact the blood of Christ in the waters of baptism and do it right now. Check out our website, southendchurchofchrist.com. That is southendchurchofchrist.com. Until tomorrow at 2 o'clock, thank you for listening to Bible Talk.
You have been listening to Bible Talk, a work of the South End Church of Christ. The South End Church of Christ meets at 4001 Taylor Boulevard in Louisville, Kentucky. Visit us on the World Wide Web at southendchurchofchrist.com. And be sure to tune in each weekday at 2 p.m. for more Bible Talk.